Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Meow, 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 meow. Thank you for downloading this episode and subscribing on iTunes. Thank you for watching me on YouTube and subscribing. Hi, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening to me. Okay, first I'm going to plug some stand-up dates. Go to Christina P. Online to check them out. September 5th, Milwaukee. September 6th, Chicago. September 7th, Boston. October 3rd through 5th, Nashville. October 17th, Irvine. November 22nd, Seattle. November 23rd, Portland, Oregon. I'm working on my 2020 calendar right now. I've got Florida. I think Miami's coming in that mix. I've got New York City being worked on. It's not announced yet, so I cannot formally announce. But get ready, those cities. Okie dokie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Very excited.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch me outside. How about that? A lot of you have been asking about my TikToks, my curations, how... If you're not on the talk, you got to go there. I'm telling you, it's the future. It's where Instagram's going to be a grave. What is that word? A cemetery. In a year or two because of TikTok. It's supposed to be a place where people make, like, they'll lip sync to songs. But it's also a place for, how do I put this, marginalized talent. People who might hear voices in their head or other things and... you got to go. You got to get on TikTok. I'm at The Water Champ. You can follow me there. I'm also on Instagram at The Christina P. Anyways.
Wait, Christina, how did you find TikTok?
Oh, my gosh. How did I find
TikTok? I mean, you're not a regular mom. You're a cool mom.
Sure.
How did you find it?
I think I was in a city, some city, and some younger feature act. I was in a city. And a feature act was like, oh, you like Instagram? Have you heard about TikTok? It's where people can sing songs and they like, do the cool dances. And I'm like, I'm really into that. And then as I got on there, I'm like, whoa, this is so much deeper.
Yeah. When did you first realize that it wasn't just singing, that there's other lanes?
That there's other things going?
How did you first find out?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the very first crazy person. Hold on. I just saw wackiness. Here's my gift in life. I can spot out the absurd, the crazies, the weirdos, the derelicts. Like, that is my gift, is to lift up the rock and see the dark underbelly of society. Like, I love it. I'm drawn to it. I love it. And I very quickly found that if I liked the regular stuff, it was like, oh, boring, some pretty girl being like, rich girl check. That's literally what it is, Nadav, is like hot chicks, teenagers being like, rich girl check, and then they'll cut to their cars and their jewels, and I'm like, that's terrible. Give me the real real. And that's how it started for me. And if you want to see those curations, they're available on at the Christina P on the gram on Instagram. And then also, if you follow me on TikTok, I think you can see what I'm liking and looking at. I've made friends with some TikTokers. I'm friends with what's her name? The Grape Apes. What's her name?
Apes Grace.
Apes Grace. She made the best TikTok of all time. That one's featured as well on my Instagram account. I get it now. I get why moms get into lame stuff. It's because you don't know what's genuinely cool anymore, because you're always at home with the kids, so you only hear what's cool filtered through channels. Like, that's why by the time the moms were saying cash me outside or like blang blang, like, you know it's super lame, because we all stay home and, you know, what's hip, bling bling, and then what was the fleek, they're on fleek, or are they like, ugh. Okay, anyway, I have to say I've been having a great week. My husband is on the road, unfortunately, so it's just the kiddos and myself, but I've really been digging it, man. I'm I miss my husband, obviously. But it's been a nonstop cavalcade of Ryan Gosling films at night, which I do. I've been getting into The Bachelor, which is something new for me, Bachelor Nation. Thank you, Ela and Ethan Klein, for suggesting that. And I, oh, by the way, sidebar, I know some of you have reached out asking about Ela being on this show. 100% Ela Klein of the H3 podcast, for those of you who don't know. Ela will be coming on as a guest. She just had her baby 8 weeks ago, so I'm giving her some time to kind of get her life going before I force her to come on this show and witness the horrors.
Cool moms.
Not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. She is so cool, that Ela Klein. She's got her own fashion and stuff. I love her. I love her so much. So I've been having a great week. I have a mom fail for you that I will love to share with you. So I've been, what I like to do with my older
now
son.
Now it's time for a round of mom fails.
Thank you. Sorry, I almost. And from now on, Nadav, I want you to only speak in Hebrew.
Ein baya.
He did the countdown. And can you do that again for our audience just so they can hear the horrors that I did?
Start from five and then go mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. a little action of a chamesh, arba, shalosh, shatayim.
No, you're not doing it. Do it like you
I'm
did.
Doing it with an American accent.
Yeah, give me the real Hebrew. Right, go.
Chamesh, arba,
yeah, do it.
Shalosh,
shtaim,
echad,
efes.
There you go.
It's horrible. It's so ugly. That is. I thought Hungarian was bad.
You don't like that sound?
It's brutal. But so Hungarian sounds brutal. I don't know if I can count.
All those Middle Eastern languages are rough.
Yeah, and they're not sexy. Hungarian's like, egy, kettő, három, négy, öt, hat, hét. No, it's kilenc.
Yeah, it sounds really aggressive. Yeah,
like you're hitting somebody with your words. It's bad. So here's my mom fail. Here's what I like to do with my son, Ellis, the older boy. Julian's only one. But what I like to do, because I believe in the power of common sense, above formal, I'm a huge proponent of formal education. I do not poo-poo the classroom. But I believe the biggest indicator of native intelligence is your ability to critically think for yourself, to reason, right? So for instance, when I'm in the streets with my kiddo, I go, hey, Ellis, what do we do when we cross the street? We look left, we look right. I tell every single time, I drill that into him because I see so many people, adults, crossing the street with their heads down, looking at their phones. I mean, it's bananas to me that they don't get hit. But anyway, what I've been doing with the E-man is I point out people who are rule breakers in public, right? Like there was a guy crossing the busy boulevard, not at the intersection, just in the middle of a busy boulevard in the middle of the day. And I say to Ellis, I go, you see that? That's a dum-dum. That's a dum-dum. And he goes, dum-dum. I go, yep, that's a dum-dum. And I explain why. I say, well, that's a dum-dum because he's breaking the rules. He could get hit by a car. This is not very intelligent behavior. I point out, you know, people who are, yeah, jaywalkers, people who aren't looking at their surroundings. I point out people who are just, you know, like there was a guy yesterday who pulled out of Trader Joe's parking lot, just willy-nilly, just backed out, almost killed pedestrians, things of that nature. So cut to, I've been giving him the dum-dum school for about 2 weeks, and we were going to Trader Joe's yesterday, and he sees just a person walking in the street, and he goes, there's a dum-dum. And I'm like, no, Ellis, it's not a dum-dum. Or like anybody on a bicycle is a dum-dum. I'm like, no, they're not just all blanket dum-dums. I go, well, I don't like when the bicyclists ride in the street. I know that's the law. Some people are more reckless. But one bicyclist just blew through the stop sign. I said, that's the dum-dum. And then to Tom the other day, Ellis goes, I'm a dum-dum. And I'm like, no, you're not a dum-dum. Don't say that. That's terrible. So I'm having to either drop the dum-dum education altogether or just make sure it's abundantly clear who is a dum-dum.
How do you backpedal?
Fudge it. I mean, that's the problem. I clarify, no, that's no, baby. Not everybody on a bicycle is a dum-dum. Not everybody walking is it. Here's why I say dum-dum. And I keep trying to drill that. He just knows it's funny and that we're comedians and we laugh at everything inappropriately. Like the other day, Tom taught Ellis to say, mom smells like a dog. And then Alice was like, "Mom smells like a dog." I'm like, "Thanks, Tommy. They're really nice." And then I have Alice say, "Daddy, you're nasty. Why are you nasty?" Like stuff like that. So we're in the Trader's Joe, as my father says, Trader's Joe. And I'm looking at the cheeses and I'm like, I want the mozzarella. I want this. And I, out of nowhere, Ellis goes, "Ah, F it." He doesn't say F it. He says, "Ah, F-U-C-K it." And I was like, "Excuse me, what did you say?" And he says again, "Ah, F it." And they go, "I'm sorry, what? Oh, F it." And finally, on the third time, an employee hears him. And she starts laughing out loud. She's like, "That is amazing." I'm like, "It's not amazing." Because sometimes kids are, you know, they're kind of learning to speak in their mush mouth. So they don't, he might be saying something else. He might be, I don't know, saying French fries, but it comes out sounding bad. So I'm like, "Are you sure about that?" And I was like, "Just don't laugh at him. You just can't encourage it. Otherwise, he's going to say F it, you know, forever and ever."
So do you get mad at people in public who encourage it?
A little. Yeah. Like I was kind of like, don't, I mean, it's hard not to. I totally understand. But at the same time, I was like, don't laugh, don't incur, because that's what they pick on. It's the energy.
Oh.
Toddlers are, they're professional button pushers too. Like if you, I've noticed with my kiddo, if he's pissing you off, like he's doing stuff now where he'll just grab something like pasta the other day, like a thing of macaroni, and just spill it on the floor and smile and just go, "I'm breaking the rules." And I'm like, "Yep." But if you feed that and you're like, "What are you doing? You're a breaker." Then they get even, then now you're in it with him, right? Because he wants to suck you into that energy of toddler energy. So you try to be like, "Well, you got to pick it up now. And now you got to, guess what? There's no cartoons," or whatever the punishment is, you know? So anyways, I also had to explain a homeless person to my son at Trader Joe's, because there's one who likes to hang out in front of our local one. And she's a lady. She has like a lawn chair. And like she seems normal. She's very benign. Like she's just always there. It's hot as hell. And I'm like, how do you explain homelessness to a three-year-old? I mean, philosophically, it's not even a concept at their age. But Nadav, your father had a really great way of explaining it.
Yeah, I remember he was taking the family on a trip to New York, and you know, there was lots of homeless people on the sidewalks, and we're walking, and he slows down as we're walking by one, and he just slows down and points, and he goes, "You see this? This is why you study in school." And like, we all spoke Hebrew, but he said it in English anyways.
Right? Oh, he said it in English.
Yeah.
Just to make a point, like to shame the homeless person.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
Yeah, he's a special guy, that guy.
Savagery, bro. But you went to college.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's yeah.
See, who's smart now?
You mean me or the bum?
No, I mean,
or me or my dad.
You're smart. You ended up smart, and I believe listen, every psychologist knows the best way to motivate children is through fear and anxiety. And what your dad did was the greatest favor known to man. You point to people that are messed up and you go, "You see that kid?" You know, that's kind of what I do with the dumb thing, where I'm like, "Oop, you see that guy's on drugs. Drugs are bad. Drugs make you bad." Or smoking. Ooh, if I see kids with the pens, I'm like, "You see that? That's a dumb. Smoking's bad." Yeah. No, that's good. That's motivation. That's what I like. My parents did all that, but that's an immigrant thing.
What did your dad do?
Oh, my dad is so brutal too. I mean, obviously like an immigrant. When I lived in San Francisco, there's a lot of homeless there, at least in the 90s. And I remember one time there was a sad homeless man in a diaper, and he was like begging for money. And he's like, "Sir, can you spare some change?" My dad just goes, "Please, come on." It's like, "Oh my God. Oh, please. Like, how dare you talk to me and this European gentleman?" I was like, foreigners are way savage though. When it comes, I think like my dad, it sounds like my dad and your dad think that homeless people are responsible. Like it's their fault. Like they are just lazy.
Right. Not, yeah. Like they don't get what mental illness is, right, or anything. They're just like, this is clearly just bad decisions.
Right. But it's, you know, I don't know. A lot of people are one paycheck away from being homeless. It's not, you know, it's not about that, but
yeah, it's a crisis.
It's terrible. But anyways, I'd explain homelessness to my little son, and and I don't know if I did the right thing, but I was like, 'cause she's always out there and it's just so hot, that I was like, "Well,
I mean, she just enjoys the sun. She enjoys sitting outside. I'm like, she enjoys the weather. I don't know what to tell you. She's a fan of summer. She just enjoys the sunshine, babe. I figure that's a kind of true. I don't know. Maybe she enjoys being in the sun. She does. I don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard to know what the right answers are. I certainly don't have them, and I'm here to make that abundantly clear. And we have other people who don't know what the heck they're doing, and this is a segment we like to call Mom Fails.
Now it's time for a round of Mom Fails.
We'll get that timing down.
No, you did it. Baruch Atai Chana Chashar. Do it. Do your bar mitzvah. Come on, to the Torah.
Shehechianu vekiyamanu, right?
That's Kianu reads.
Vehigianu.
What was Kianu?
I don't know. It's the ancient Hebrew stuff.
I love that you know that stuff. Yeah, do you speak it to anybody ever?
I used to speak it to my parents a lot. But yeah. Then whenever I went to go visit my my cousins in Israel, they would constantly be correcting my Hebrew.
Don't you hate that?
Well, yeah. And so then like I went and talked to my parents. I'm like, hey, so I've been saying Hebrew wrong my whole life. Like, you guys didn't correct me? They're like, nah, we thought it was cute.
Yeah.
And so now I just don't speak Hebrew to anybody.
Yeah. Isn't that because I too, like if I go back to Hungary, I could kind of pick it up. And then like I had that same thing happen to me where I was saying something in Hungarian and then he corrected my grammar. And I was like, oh, well, like now I don't want to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't correct me.
It's like, oh, I look like a fucking idiot in my entire life.
You just said F. You better edit that out.
Wait, hold on.
GD.
No, we're 15 minutes in. We're good.
Oh, now I can bombs away.
Yeah, let her rip.
Let her rip. But yeah, I know, because like, first of all, if like, for instance, when I see somebody who's struggling to speak English and I understand the gist of what they're saying, I'm not correcting them. You know what I'm saying? That's such a jerk move. Like, I believe it's, and your friend, like, just let them say it. You know what I mean? It's such a jerky. And any hoodles. Okay, let's do some mom fails.
Yeah, here's the first mom fail.
Okay.
Hi, mommy. This is Sarah from Georgia. My mom fail is I got peed on in the post office by my 2.5-year-old yesterday. We were there to mail a package, and he is new to underwear in the past month and told me he had to pee. And, of course, they have no public restroom in the post office. His lead time for having to pee versus when you need to get into the bathroom is, like, 30 seconds. So I didn't have time to get out of line, go to the car, drive somewhere, let him pee. So he asked me to pick him up, and I picked him up, not thinking about it, and he peed all over me while I was holding him. Great. Thanks. Bye.
By the way, kudos to you for getting that kid potty trained at 2. Especially boys, they're so much later. And yeah, I've been peed on many times by my children, mostly through leaky diapers. I don't wear white at all because they just piss all over you. But yeah, good luck. Oh, by the way, later in this episode, so I got this email from a woman named Sarah, and she says she likes the podcast, and but she laughs at me because I'm such an LA mom. And in her rural community, she's like, things are way different. And so I emailed her back. I was like, great, tell me all about it. I'm so curious to know what your life is like. So we're going to call Sarah from Idaho here in about, I don't know, a few minutes, not a few minutes, 30 minutes or so. And we'll talk to her about what her life is like in a rural town. Okay, but let's continue with our mom fails because these are fantastic.
Hey, Maine Mommy Kirsten, this is Chris from Wisconsin, big fan of you and your husband, Garth, and just wanted to share a mom fail with you that I had. So when my son first started walking, we were outside having some drinks, grilling out, he pulled himself out from the table, went over, grabbed my beer, dumped it all over himself, didn't like it, brought it up to him a couple times since. He laughed, but he's never really talked about it, and we've gone out to eat hundreds of times since. Well, a couple weekends ago, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings. The waitress comes over, brings our drinks, and jokingly says, oh, do you want to have some of Daddy's beer? And he shouts so half the restaurant can hear him, no, when I first started walking, Daddy had me try beer. I don't like it. Oh, and we're ordering the Pow Pows tonight, which is what he calls the UFC. Do you want to come home with us and watch it? So, needless to say, she got a giant tip, and he's got a new girlfriend.
Hey.
So thanks for the podcast, and I will be in Milwaukee September 5th. Hey. To see you. So everybody in the area, come try it out.
Try it out. Thank you, sir. Hilarious. Buffalo Wild Wings. Great place to take your kids anywhere that is really loud and with multiple screens is fantastic for small children. That's so funny. So my dad used to take me to bars a lot when I was a kid, as I mentioned, which is why I'm such a balanced adult and I work in bars now as a comic. But so he taught me to say that he taught me this phrase. I would order we ordered like strawberry daiquiris, but with no alcohol in them when we'd go to the bar. I thought it was so novel that I could order like a daiquiri or a pina colada. And I think he didn't want me to say the word virgin. He was like, don't say virgin pina colada, virgin daiquiri. Instead, say no booze. So I was like, I want a strawberry daiquiri, no booze. And I thought, and everybody would laugh when I would do it. And I had no idea until I was much older. I'm like, he had me saying that crap when I was like 9 years old. Like, no booze. Like I'm some old, homeless guy with a stick and a, what is that? Like, no booze.
A bindle.
Whatever. Yeah. Two teeth. No booze. Who am I? A hobo. Okay, well, we've got a video. Guys, send me your GD vids. I love these videos more than life. I love your voicemails because it's so much better when you can hear a person. So I'll appreciate the emails. Send me your effing videos, please. Okay.
So
yeah, tell.
Yeah, so this is from Brittany. Okay. And they recorded their kid saying a new word that they learned.
Record this, please.
What did you say, Alice? What did you say?
Fuck you. Wait, what did that kid say?
She said, fucking bitch.
Hilarious. See, it's so good when they do it in their little shrimp voice. It's so cute. It's so bad, though. You're not supposed to encourage that. It is one of the highlights, though. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Where is it? Pull that one up. You were just searching for it. It's so funny. I had my kid say bird is fat for your mom's house. So good. Anyways, I love it when little kids curse. It is highly inappropriate. I do not encourage you.
You know our friend Bert?
There it is.
You know Bert Kreischer? Can you say bird is fat?
Bird fat.
That's my boy. That's my son right there. Bird fat. Bird fat. He talks to me.
So fat.
That is my son. Good boy. Good boy. Okay. Oh my gosh. Let's go to this generation is doomed. Are we done with our mom fails? Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one on here.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Let me do these first.
Yeah,
sorry, guys. We're kind of all over the map. This one's pretty great, mom fail. My husband and I were obsessed with our newborn's weight gain, but didn't want to constantly bring him to the doctor or lactation consultant for a weigh-in. So we decided it would be perfectly safe to put our teeny, helpless child into a glass salad bowl on top of our kitchen scale on the kitchen counter to weigh him. Needless to say, the bowl immediately tipped over and the baby rolled out onto the counter, and we both lunged to catch him before he rolled off. He's 14 months now, so despite us, he made it. And she writes, so far, in parentheses, Cindy. Thank you. You're right. Kitchen scales are not baby scales. And I feel your pain about this constant weighing in of the newborns, you know. Little hot tip for you, moms. When you have a newborn, okay, what they love to do is, first of all, this breastfeeding, I'm pro-breastfeeding, don't get me wrong, I am not anti-breastfeeding. I lasted, 5 months with, 4 months and 5 months with my kids. However, it is a cult of breastfeeding, and when you're really not given an option, which I don't think is very cool, but I get it, I get why, because it is healthier right now, it's cultural, it says it's healthier, because back in the 1950s, they said formula was healthier, but anyways. So these breastfeeding ladies, they come around after you've had the baby in the hospital. They touch your boobs. They squeeze your nips. They tell you that you've got good nipples. Your nipples are inverted or they're droopy or they're big or they're little. They're going to say things like, the baby's latching, the baby's not latching, the latch isn't good, the baby might be tongue-tied, blah, 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 blah. So here's what happens. It takes a few days for your milk to come in. Hot tip. You're going to have colostrum the first, 48 to 72 hours, and then your milk comes in usually once you've gone home with that baby or, you know, whatever, 3 days after the kid is born. In the meantime, they're going to tell you, well, you got to nurse constantly to get your milk stimulated, which is true. You must do that, okay? But your baby's going to lose weight if your milk hasn't come in already. And they're going to tell you stuff like, you got to bring the baby in to be weighed every day. Make sure they're gaining weight, not losing weight. Because the breastfeeder people, they want your milk to come in. So they're going to keep making that baby suck on you even though it's losing weight. And it's going to send you into a panic because you're a new mom. I'm here to tell you, that's normal. What I do is I let that baby suck on me until the milk comes in. Just feed the kid formula. A little bit of formula is not going to kill them until you get that weight up, until your milk comes in, so that you're not running to the doctor. That's what I did on the second go around. I'm glad I did. Otherwise, I mean, they put me in a panic with Ellis because he wasn't latching and blah, 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 blah. Kitchen scales are not baby scales, and they don't weigh your boobs either. I tried it for your mom's house. They are not easy to do it on. I've done it. Okay.
How did you do it?
I put my boob on a food scale. Just in our office, Tom and I were in the studio together privately. I just took off my bra because I mean, they're so big after I had Julian. And I just put my titty on the scale. And I'm not sure if it's accurate. I kind of feel like one of those scales in the grocery store would have been better that you put the produce in, because then I could stand.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I remember back when we were trying to figure out the best way to weigh my boobs. People were talking about water displacement. And,
what?
Yeah, that's like a...
What?
If you paid attention in physics class, it's like you put,
I did not.
Put a bowl of water and then you put your boob in it. And then when you see how much water it displaced, then that's how much volume it... I don't know. It's like equations and shit. I don't know.
That is way beyond me. I did not take physics in school. Surprise. Not smart. Okay, this generation is doomed. Yes.
Is this generation doomed? These moms think so.
So, first of all, let me point out the reason this generation is doomed is because of my generation. I take full responsibility for the Gen Xers completely screwing up anything the millennials have done. That's not perfect. No, I'm just saying that. I think the millennials are fantastic, actually. I think you guys are the most compassionate generation. I think you guys are amazing at business and stuff. But we've made you socially anxious, to say the least, and dare I say, overly ambitious. This is what I found in the Barnes & Noble I went to a while ago, and I almost had to cover my mouth to contain the vomit coming out of it. It's... if you can see up on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, it is a cover for Teen Boss magazine, and it's written teen and the word B-O-S-S, and the two S's are dollar signs. Oh, my God. And there's an exclamation mark at the end. I mean, look, here's the quiz, the hot quiz. Which mega company could you take over? You're asking a teenager? I mean, is the company, you know, pimple cream and jerking off? Maybe that's what possible thing could a teenager do? Anyway, that was silly. I don't know why I say that. Okay, learn how to take a pro headshot, okay? Teen Boss's second annual Inspiration Awards. That's the second year they've been doing it. Tips to the top from real teens like you. And then Sabrina Carpenter's 5 steps to making your business dreams reality. Can you look up Sabrina Carpenter real quick? Because she looks cute. I'm guessing Instagram influencer, which isn't a real business as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's just taking like semi-naked pics of yourself and putting it up so that older guys can perv out on you. Sabrina Carpenter, I'm sure. Oh, she's an American singer and actress. Okay, so she's in show business.
She's in the Goodwin Games. And starred as Maya Hart in the Disney Channel series Girl Meets World.
This, unless she has a side business that I'm unaware of, this doesn't count as like an entrepreneur. Like actors, by the way, secret, spoiler alert, actors that are famous at this girl's age their parents push them into this business when they're like 4 years old, where they don't really have a choice in the matter. Yeah, I mean, she's cute. So she's hot and she's on, and she's at Target. Yeah, see, she's hawking Target stuff. See, okay. I mean, good for her for expanding her brand. But the point being, do we have to commodify every GD thing in the world as Americans? As I like the idea of making young people educated on business and entrepreneurship. But for God's sakes, I mean, can we just enjoy adolescence and just enjoy the last moment of our lives that aren't being commodified and quantified and put out there? You know what I mean? I just, it makes me want to vomit. Ugh. Anyways, that was my, this generation is doomed. But
so at what age do you think it is okay to start?
I mean, here's what I've been telling. I'm serious. And this is 100% real right here, homie. There are families. If you talk to rich people, if you talk to successful people, most of the time their parents taught them about money and how to think rich or act rich or whatever the heck it is. Poverty is a poverty consciousness too, right? Like my parents were immigrant, you know, so everything was like, you have to hold on to what you have. You're going to lose everything. It was all about hoarding and saving, right? Which is so unhealthy and such a, and hating rich people too. These fucking rich people are bad. It's like that's so silly. Instead, turn your consciousness to like, how can I make money? What are ways in which you can produce things, make things, expanding? You know what I'm saying? It's a consciousness. So I believe in teaching your children not to have a poverty consciousness, not to think in terms of scarcity, what we don't have. You know, let's think of ways to think big and be big. But I would say that consciousness, that conversation begins in the house day one. You know, you make children earn stuff. If they do something, they get this, or I don't know. I mean, I would say around, yeah, teen, like high school, but not, you don't need to be entrepreneurs necessarily. They don't need to be on the cover of Teen Boss magazine, but just the education really begins in high school, where I think getting a job, just getting a summer job. How about that? Isn't that enough for a teen? Right? Just suffering through a summer gig, you know, being a barista, that's more of an education than anything. Is working with the public. My God.
Yeah, that's actually really good advice.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
go
working,
get a job.
Yeah, working a job that you hate, it teaches you a lot.
Ain't that the truth? What was your first crappy job?
I was a courtesy clerk at Vaughn's Supermarket.
Oh, what does that mean?
Bag boy.
Oh, that's fun. That's what they used to let mentally challenged kids do in our neighborhood.
No, yeah, it was.
And then they took the job away from them.
I actually really respect what my mom did. I was supposed to have an internship at like NBC, which fell through.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, I guess I'm doing nothing all summer. And she looked at me and she's like, nah, Vons is hiring. Why don't you go fucking apply over there?
Can I tell you what?
Right. Yeah, she did good.
100%. My first job was 13 years old. I worked as a counselor in training at the summer camp, and then I was a telemarketer. The next year, my stepdad changed my birth certificate so I could work. I was 14 and he changed it to make me 15 for the state of California. It was so illegal. He changed my legal document. It's crazy. But all those jobs, I tell you, like that's I don't know. That's what makes you social too. And I was riding the bus around LA when I was 13 and probably a lot more free than I should have been. But like, dude, the resilience, that's really what you got to teach the kid. And they'll figure out the business stuff. That can be taught. But resilience and common knowledge, man, that's the foundation. And look at you now. Look at you now.
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple mornings where I was definitely, you know, mopping the floors at like 5 a.m. like, oh, shit. Like, I definitely had some thoughts. I was like, I am never doing this job again.
Never.
And then, you know, I just made sure every summer was lined up after that and that I was never going to be caught with my pants around my ankles without
right.
a job.
There you go, homie. There you go. Best motivator for sure. Okay, what should we do next?
Ooh, we got a whole bunch of mom hacks coming.
OMGs. I freaking love this. So I've asked you guys to submit mom hacks because I feel like when I'm with my kiddos, it's just a series of cleaning up, cooking, cooking, laundry, cleaning, cooking, laundry, diapers. So anything to help that process would be amazing. So let's get into it. What you got for me, homie?
Hey, mommies. It's Michelle here. I have three kids, so I have some hacks that work out, might work out for you. I always designate a pack of wipes to my children, and we call it the fun wipey wipe game, where they walk around the house and dust everything for me. They dust off pretty much everything, and it saves me that job. And then also, I taught my six-year-old the popcorn setting on the microwave, and that saves my life while I'm working from home, because the six-year-old can cook everyone popcorn with just pushing a button. So easy. I hope you guys take away from these two tips. Have a fun day. Bye, mommy.
I love it. Thank you. Yeah, a six-year-old can make their own popcorn. What about that? That's pretty good. And I like the wipey wipe game. Why not, man? You know, and I think, too, for little boys, it's so important to teach them to clean and cook. My husband came to me as an adult not knowing how to do that stuff. Like, he went to college, he said. He didn't know how to do his own laundry because his mom never made him. You better believe that shit ain't going to happen in my house. My boys are going to do their own laundry and cook and clean. Okay, I love this next video, too.
Yeah, this is from Cassandra.
This is great. Thank you.
Here's my mom hack. If you're wondering why it's so dark in the room right now, it's because I'm hiding from my family. So I'm in my bed, in my bedroom,
yeah,
hoping they won't find me. Anyways, my mom hack is to hire a cleaning person. So I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of money. We're an average family. We're not poor. We have a decent life. So I figure I work hard enough to be able to afford one weekend off a month. Now, some people can get it bi-weekly. You can do weekly. I'm comfortable with doing monthly, because then I don't feel as guilty about the fact that I'm paying someone to clean my house for me. But that's what you got to do sometimes. If you work full-time, you have to pay people to clean your house. And it is worth it. Because those weekends where I get a weekend off from doing all the laundry, all the cleaning, it is heaven.
Mm.
It is like the best mental vacation you could possibly give yourself. So that's my mom hack. Mm. I don't have any other tips. Sorry.
Girl, that is, isn't that, hey. That's the ultimate, dude. That's the tip, bro. Ladies, did you hear this, woman? Get yourself a maid, a housekeeper. I'm telling you, when Tom Segura and I didn't have two dimes to rub together, we were so poor, we lived in the Rampart Division. We wouldn't go to dinner. We wouldn't do any, you know, extracurriculars just to pay a maid. We paid, what, $60 every 2 weeks? This lady would come. We had no money, but it was a priority because the time we did have a home, who wants to be scrubbing toilets and cleaning slime out of the carpets? Like, pay a professional who does a better job than you, eh? And you get time. Time is the greatest gift of all, of all. And sweetie, don't feel guilty about not cleaning your own house. It makes me sad to, I get it. It feels weird to have somebody clean your house. It definitely did in the beginning. I was like, oh my God, like, do they judge me? Of course they judge me. I mean, most of the times my husband would leave like cock rings out next to the bed, and like their sweet lady would find them and put them in baggies and stuff like that. She knew what that was. But they've seen it all. They've done it all. And, give someone a gig. Let them do it. Let them clean, girl. And some people ask me, Christina, what can I get a woman that just had a baby? What is the, because I know those new moms are tired. Should I get them a gift basket full of good lotions? Yeah. You know what that bitch wants more than anything? Someone to clean her house, someone to take that baby so she can sleep a little bit, and someone to cook her a meal. Those are the three best things moms need. So there you go. Get someone to clean your damn house. All right, who's this, broad?
Hey, mommy. Not a personal mom hack myself, but a cool mom hack. My mom, not a regular mom, she used to just, you know, put one of the big dogs with me outside in the dirt. Outside and let me dig in some bugs and some worms and let me distract myself for a good 20-30 minutes while she took a shower. It was nice. She got some alone time. Mm. I appreciate it. I learned about the outdoors.
Yep. 100%, dude. Listen, I buy all these toys on Amazon. I have most of the toys from Amazon I own. The best toy in the world is the hose. You give your kids a hose and some dirt and a spoon? I'm telling you, I would just put a box down on the floor and put flour in it and just set up a lawn chair and just watch the kid go. I still do to this day. Here's some flour. You don't need all the expensive stuff.
I think I came by the house I think it was like maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And you had Ellis just emptying out a can of shaving cream on your driveway. Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you know Ellis is doing that? He's like, yeah, that can will be done in a bit.
Okay. Yes, you're right. I forgot about it. That's a cool mom hack of mine. Go to Amazon, buy just a brick of those shaving cream canisters. Get like the 6-pack, the 12-pack. I'm telling you, little boys and little girls who come over, hand them a can of that, strip them down in their diaper, and just let them go nuts.
Oh, you got it specifically for that because Tom's not using shaving cream.
No, it's specifically for my kids.
Huh.
So that mom can sit in a lawn chair and drink and watch them play. And then you just hose them down after. They love it. They love that stuff. And they can play with it in the tub and everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's what boys, I mean, don't spend money on nothing. All right. Who's this chick? She's so pretty. Gosh, look at her hair.
Christina. Hi. I am a mama of 16-month-old twins. I got a little boy and a little girl, and Lord knows they're little tornadoes. My house is never clean. My laundry's never done. that's all I do. So here's my mom hack. What I do is I splurge and I buy really cute pajamas. Not really cute clothes. Mm-mm. Really cute pajamas. So when they go to bed, they wake up the next day, they just go to daycare and they're really cute PJs. Make sure I get them with shorts. I get them with long sleeves and pants. You know, winter wear. You know, stuff they can wear. And I don't care if they're too small. Bubby's belly is going to be hanging out. You know what I mean? So, and if we're lucky and they don't get crap on them at daycare, then they can just wear them to bed that night.
Wow.
Put down all my laundry because Lord knows all I do is laundry.
Yes.
All right, that's my mom hack. Wow. Also, don't throw your boxes away because they're not going to play with all those toys that you bought. All that money you spent, you're going to play with the damn box.
100%. I love it. I love these. She's right, dude. That is, I've heard this one before, so a few people have emailed that one in too, is put the kids to bed in the clothes they're going to wear to school the next day. I had a mom write in that she actually makes them sleep in school clothes. This one just said have them sleep in pajamas that look like school clothes, and a lot of them do look just like regular clothes. So that's amazing. All right, what's this guy all about?
Hey, Mommy. By the way, Christina, you're
Thank you.
Glowing.
I know. Thank you.
You are glowing.
You're so sweet.
Miss, Thank ma'am, you. Mommy. Okay. Thank you. A mom hack. My mom, growing up in New Jersey and here in Kentucky, she used to always feed the birds. Always have a lot of bird seed, a big Tupperware thing full of bird seed. We found out later that's where she kept her pot. So every time she went to go feed the birds, she was hacking.
Yes, that's her code. Don't forget, I'm going to feed the birds. Poor mama. Yes, bro. You got to talk. You got to talk. You know, and I tell you, after the first kid, I was like, I don't think I can take drugs anymore. I can't smoke pot. I can't drink anymore. And by the second kid, you're like, we just need to get high and chill out and watch some Netflix, man. Because you got it under control. You know, I'm not saying be reckless. When the kids are asleep, hey, mom and dad do their thing. So this one I love, this next video, this lady I relate to, 100%.
What is up, Mommy Christina? My mom hack I'm bringing today is colorful toys. I'm not I turn diapers into hats, recycling, pure love. Mom, I will bribe a child all day with colorful toys. I'm going to bring you my three most favorite as of late. First one is this drum set. Yeah. We have had it 2 days and already lost the sticks, so he is using pens. Yeah. The next one is this sports center.
Yeah.
He is not very good at it, but it has a bunch of lights on it.
No.
Keeps him busy for days. And the last one is this whale toy. Do you want to show Christina P. Aww, the whale toy?
Go look ahead at that and show her.
Ooh, boy, get it, get it, get it. Get it, get it, get it. It shoots balls out of the spout, and then he's got to go chase them around. Those are my mom hacks brought to you by Lizzie V. Keep them high and tight.
Lizzie V, you're my girl. That's what's up. That's called Amazon. Go ahead and buy all those products on Amazon using my banner. Go to where my mom's at, .com. Check out, click the bottom of the homepage. I'm telling you, girl. So here's the embarrassing thing, Lizzie. I have two out of those three toys right now in my playroom. The drum set, it's already been destroyed. That hoop thing, I have the same thing, and I hate it because whoever did the voiceover did such a bad job. The kid's laugh is horrible. He goes, throw the ball, kick the ball. Like he fake laughs. Like you couldn't do a second take on that. Like that's not even a laugh. You couldn't get a child to laugh. Anyway, it always bothers me. And the whale toy I have ordered on Amazon because of you. So thank you, Lizzie. I throw money at any problem I can. Okay. What do we? Oh, this is so cute.
So this next one is from Heather, and she said that, you know, she found a mom hack that actually watching your mom's house podcast really calms down her baby.
Sold out, but
there he is watching our podcast.
Yeah, watching this is Tom. Just tour dates.
I wonder if it's Tom's voice that calms that baby. You know what? Maybe that's Tom's road baby. And he's used to the sound of Tom's voice. And he's like, Dad, could you imagine? He's like, does look like Tom, right? That kid? Dark hair? Oh, fuck. Well, I'm flattered. Thank you. And I'm glad that your mom's house provides that service for your family. We're not just all about poop jokes. We also soothe babies. Okay, moving right along. What have we got now, Bubby? We got some. Oh, hold on. This mom hack's amaze. Let me read this one to you. It says, the other day, my husband was at work and my three kids were running around before bed. I was on the couch watching TV with a blanket on me, trying to hide the entire Carvel cake I was eating because I didn't want to share. Every time my kids came in the room, I shoved the cake under the couch and promptly retrieved it when they left. This happened at least 5 times before I finished. They got no bites and no one was the wiser, but I was so satisfied. Home here now, Sarah. Exactly. Yes, because I'm at that age now where anything, I mean, my kids are that age where anything I eat, they eyeball and then they take it from me so quickly. So yeah, and my toddler knows when I'm eating something good, like when it's a piece of chocolate. I came in the room and he's like, what's in your mouth? And I was like, it's broccoli. It's not. I just pop Brussels sprouts. And Juju is such a little snack monster. He takes everything out of my hands, anything and everything. Oh, this is great. I love this mom hack. First off, she writes, thank you for making a podcast. You're welcome. Like this, you're welcome. No one talks about how hard it is to be a mom. Amen. My lazy mom moment. My kid spilled juice in his crib right before bed. Instead of cleaning the sheet, I just put a blanket over it and put him on the other side of the bed. It was too late to deal with. I needed my kid free time. LOL. Kaylin. Thank you. Yeah, that one's pretty great. It is so funny. Like, I don't know what it is about your own children, but man, like I came home from my trip to Salt Lake City and I was so rested and I was so stoked to see my family. And then within minutes, I just, you know, you just go to rage. Like you just get annoyed with everybody within 5 seconds. And like there's some nights you'll put that kid down and you're like, oh my God, this is the best. Like, you know, you do something cute with them and you're just like, being a mom's the best. And there's some nights you're just counting down that clock. Like, just go to fucking sleep, please. Like, please just, oh, I just got to go upstairs. I got to get out of here. So that's very, it's interesting. I don't, that's just the game, I guess. Okay. All right. Thank you to my lovely sponsors. Now let's get back to the show. My cousin Shadi sent this in. This is so interesting. So I had mentioned briefly on an episode that there are cultures. Oh, back in the 1950s here in the U.S., they used to put newborns, little babies, out in the cold. And they would encourage you, if you want your baby to sleep well, you put them outside. And you put them outside in the dead of winter as well. And it's even better if it's cold. And I swear that was a common practice. So she sent me this. It said, the babies who nap in sub-zero temperatures. This is from BBC News. I'll put this on the link when this episode comes out. Please remind me, Native. So this says, would you put your toddler outside in the freezing cold for their lunchtime nap? Most Nordic parents wouldn't give it a second thought. For them, it's part of their daily routine. Daytime temperatures this winter in Stockholm, yeah, thanks, mommy, have regularly dropped to -5 Celsius. Come on, man. That's 23 degrees Fahrenheit. But it's still common to see children left outside by their parents for a sleep in the pram. A pram is, that's the foreign way of saying a stroller. Wander through the snowy city and you'll see buggies lined up outside coffee shops while parents sip on lattes inside. If you're visiting friends and your child needs a nap, you may be offered the garden or balcony instead of a bedroom. I think it's good for them to be in the fresh air as soon as possible, says Lisa Martin, a mother of three from Stockholm who works for a food distribution company, especially in the winter. When there's lots of diseases going around, the kids seem healthier. Okay, so the article is kind of long. I'll paraphrase it. But this is totally a Euro thing. My mother was insistent on fresh air. You need fresh air. This is the remedy to all problems in Europe is fresh air. And so the belief was that babies sleep longer because of their cold. They're bundled up tighter. They're swaddled better. They're not sweating in their sleeping garments. And so they did a study. And yes, it's true. The naps actually do last longer because they're swaddled better and they're not sweating and overheating. But it was inconclusive in terms of them getting more sicknesses and colds. You know what I'm saying? Because if the older sib comes home and brings home those toddler diseases, the preschool shit, ain't nothing you can do. You know what I'm saying? Fresh air ain't gonna cure hand, foot, and mouth disease. The other day, I was at my mommy and me class with Julian, and this first time mommy was next to me, and she goes, she saw him, Julian. Julian just sucks on his fingers, right? He touches the floor, sucks those little fingers. So cute, little cookie fingers. And this mom, she sees him sucking the fingers and she goes, oh, you know, be careful. Don't let him suck on his fingers because of hand, foot, and mouth disease. Hand, foot, now I hear it's terrible. And I didn't say anything, but in my head I was like, bitch, please. We done had hand, foot, and mouth in this house. Okay.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Catch me outside with your hand, foot, and mouth disease, bitch. Okay. That's some junior varsity mom shit to be like, you can prevent stuff from happening. No, you can't. Good luck. Sanitize their hands all you want, boo. You can sanitize. It's not going to help. The shit don't matter. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. They're just going to get sick. You just have to endure. You have to just endure that shit. Okie dokes. What are we going to do? Oh, that's right. I don't. Hold on. Let me just think. We did that.
Yeah, we can hold that one off.
I'd like, yeah. General questions. Sure. Let's do generals. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got?
Hey, James. It's Mommy Lizzie V. I just dropped my sweet 15-month-old boy off at hourly daycare for the first time. Aww. And I'm borderline dying inside. Yeah. My husband's mom didn't leave him alone with another adult human being until he was like freaking 7 years old, and she had a panic attack and she had to go to the straight up hospital. I'm not that status, but I am feeling dead inside. So yeah. I was wondering if you would just chat about the first time leaving the boys and how you got through it. I know there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but it is a struggle right now. Love the podcast. Thanks for being awesome. Keeping high and tight.
Got it. All right. Yeah, I'll tell you what. So with Juju, the baby, he's only ever left with one other human besides me. So I trust that other human. I've trusted her, our nanny. She's been with us since Ellis was 4 months old. So I trust this bitch with my children. The only person I really, 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 really trust with baby jeans. Now, so E-Man, when I sent him to preschool or whatever daycare the first time, he was about 15 months too. And dude, no one warned you, but that was just gut-wrenching because like you, I went with him, I remember, and we spend time there. And then I think the first time he was actually okay because we went in with him and we stayed there for like half hour and then we were like, okay, later. And he didn't freak. And then the second and third time he would start to cry. So it was kind of like reverse. And so the first time we left him, I had so much anxiety and sadness and guilt and weird. I was in the parking lot. I spied on him through the fence. Like there's a parking lot and there was a fence. I would like pull my car up and like see if I could see him playing. And if he was playing and he was happy, I would drive off. So I was like, okay. And then the school knew that I was obviously first time mom doing that. So they're like, well, you can call and check on him in a little bit. So I called the school and I was like, how's he doing? And they're like, he's fine. He's playing. I was like, oh, okay. Thank God. So ask the school if they're aware of your inner mom panic because they deal with it every day, every year. You know, ask if you can call. Can I call and just see how he's doing? Don't talk. You don't want to talk to him because that's going to be whatever weird for him and it's going to jar him out of his fun. But ask if you can just say, hey, how's kiddo doing? How's he adjusting? And that's really it, mommy. I mean, look, it's good for them. Just remind yourself that it's good for them. They do need to. They're going to learn so much cool stuff, by the way, by going to school at that age. Like your kid's going to learn how to wash their hands quicker than normal when they see some other kid doing it. They're going to eat pizza. They're going to try things. They're more likely to try new stuff because they're seeing other kids do it. Send them. You know what I do too? Just send them there for an amount of time that you feel comfortable with. You know, if it really freaks out, I only did like, you know, 2 half days in the beginning. And I come pick him up at noon. So he knew he was coming home for lunch and nap and stuff. But yeah, bro, I mean, it's tough. And every step they go through, it's just tough because you want them to be perfect. You want their lives to be perfect. But just remember, you're preparing them for the world, not for perfection. You're preparing them for the inevitable hardships of life. And there are many. So hang in there, girl, and just get drunk. That's what I do. Go ahead. Next question. Drink every night.
Hi there. My name's Robin. I had a miscarriage a few years ago in a previous marriage I was in. I'm in a new relationship now where I'm engaged. And one of the things that is on my mind a lot is possibly having another miscarriage. Mm-hmm. It gives me a lot of anxiety. And I listened to one of your episodes in which you were talking about that you had already had a couple of miscarriages. And I know this is mostly about, you know, having kids now and, you know, parenting, obviously when you already have the kid, but is that something that you'd be willing to talk about? Like, when you had your miscarriages, did you have really bad anxiety about conceiving again? You know, were you able to get enough support from it? I kind of feel like miscarriage is one of those things that a lot of people don't really talk about too much because it sort of seems a little taboo. Anyways, thanks, Mommy.
Yeah, I would love to talk about my miscarriages. But can I tell you something? I think it should be that open of like, yeah, here's what happened. Because you're absolutely right that, first of all, I'm sorry that you did have to go through it. It's horrendous. I would never wish it on any woman. I would definitely say a miscarriage is up there with top three traumatic events that have personally happened to me in my life. Horrible. Is there enough support? No, never. And it is one of those taboo topics that for some reason women don't talk about. I think partly not for malicious reasons or whatever, partially because it is unpleasant. And once you do have a baby, the last thing you want to think about is the miscarriages you've had before this life is finally here. So I think people have amnesia. It's like, you know, let's not talk about the horrible parts to motherhood. But anyways, yes, I would gladly share my thoughts and my feelings with you on this. So I think what's really horrible about a miscarriage is that you know, you have all these expectations of a life inside of you, right? Like you're so pumped up, you're so stoked. And especially if it's your first pregnancy, you're not even thinking in terms of like, oh, this could go south. I mean, I didn't. And so that's the high of like, we're going to have a baby, to like that one ultrasound or whatever it is that tells you you're not, to, oh, this is not happening. And you know, you started to plan your life one way and the excitement, and then all of a sudden it's like a roller coaster crashing into the ground. So there's that element. And then there's this weird stuff that happened to me where I would think about what could I have done to contribute to this? Did I eat something? You know, did I have sushi before I found out I was pregnant and the raw fish? You're not supposed to have that. So maybe that contributed. Did I lay on my stomach during a massage? Did that cause the... And then you go, but rationally you go, yeah, but like heroin addicts have babies. Those infants, right? Like real... shitbag humans who don't care about their bodies have babies all the time. So there's not like, you really can't do a lot to contribute to that occurring. It's genetics. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, they don't even know a lot of times why you have a miscarriage, but it's, hey, nature is a cruel, savage bitch. And she does not care about your feelings when it comes to that baby. She doesn't give a fuck if she gives you a miscarriage, and she certainly tears through your body to let that baby grow inside of you and your organs get pushed around. And then it's savage when nature, you know, when you birth, shit is real. It's savage. So the whole thing is very traumatic. And unfortunately, you know, you can tell your husband about it, but I just don't think, like, I mean, Tom's amazing, but I don't think he really understood the gravity. You don't really, you know, it's, unless you've been through it, it's hard to understand. So I would try to reach out to people you know have gone through it. I always recommend therapy. Process the trauma. It's traumatic. It's painful. I would put my money on my miscarriage as being more painful than actual labor. And I didn't spend a lot of time in labor. I got to like what contractions were 5 minutes apart before I got an epidural, but very painful and very traumatic. And even after Ellis was born, after that, I remember thinking, oh, he's not going to survive. Like, I still had the feeling of anxiety of like, is this baby going to live? Because you're like, I've had two die. So what if Ellis dies? And then, so that was terrible. And I didn't stop thinking that he was going to die until he turned like 6 months old. And then with the second baby, I had IVF, because at my age, they were like, you know, you have a 50-50 chance of having a miscarriage at over 40. And I was like, forget that. I'm going to take the chance out of it, because I just couldn't go through it again. So that's why I went for IVF. And that way they can test those embryos and see if they're, you know, more likely to be viable. And I got really lucky, thank goodness. But it's taboo. It's shameful. For some reason, I felt personally responsible for my miscarriages. I didn't want to tell people about them.
How do you get out of that line of thinking?
Oh, yeah, therapy, talking through the trauma, because it's a death. You're essentially dealing with a death. So you have to process it. You have to grieve it. You have to go through the feelings of the confusion and the roller coaster. And really, you should do it with a licensed professional, a therapist. Find somebody who's good and qualified. I'm going to have, we're going to do an episode with Katie Morton. She's going to come in. She is a therapist on YouTube. I would check her out now, because she's going to come in here, so you can send your questions and stuff to her by video, please, or voicemail. Katie Morton is her name. She is a marriage and family therapist, and she's on YouTube. And she has so many useful videos about every topic imaginable. I believe she probably has stuff on miscarriage. But look for resources online if you don't have a therapist. Okay, let's do one more question, and then we're going to talk to Sarah in Idaho about being a raw mom. What do we have?
Hi, Christina. Love you so much.
Thanks, Mommy.
I am calling from Buena Vista, Colorado. Huh? And I guess this really isn't a fail, or it's more of a question to you, if you ever struggled with postpartum depression after Ellis or Julian. And yeah, if you or the other mommies on the show could maybe share about that or talk about that, I
just had my first, and she's 3 months old, and I love her so, so much. But it's been hard, and it's much more real than I thought it would be, it meaning postpartum depression. So, yeah, just kind of looking to hear stories of other moms who are going through the same thing. And anyways, I just love you so much and your show so much, and it brings me a lot of camaraderie from afar, and I really appreciate it. So have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, poor lady. Congrats on the baby, and thank you for having the courage to call in and even talk about that. I defer you to the Alyssa Milano episode. First of all, go listen to that. Alyssa was very forthcoming about her battle with postpartum depression that started actually a year after she gave birth, which is, I guess, uncommon, but not impossible. Listen to her describe it, because I think the problem with the phrase postpartum depression is that it didn't manifest as straight depression. Like, I've been done depressed. I was goth for fucking 12 years. Like, I've been depressed most of my life. And after having both the kids, I experienced this postpartum, I call it postpartum funkadelia, postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD. I don't think it's always depression, and which is why it was confusing for me both times. And I remember after my first baby, like, you go to the doctor's visits, the pediatrician, and they're like, they would just ask me on a form, do you have feelings of sadness? And I'm like, yeah, I'm human. Yes. All times are, yeah. Like, and do you have anxiety? Like, yeah. So it was not like a thorough, I didn't even know I had it until, like, I see my shrink, and that's when we determined that that's what was going on with me. For me, I'll just be brief because it was in the Alyssa episode, if you want to listen to that. It manifested in severe anxiety on both kids. I went to obsessive checking of things, checking monitors to make sure the kids are okay, stockpiling supplies. I got to go get more diapers. I got to get more stuff. Really, not so much the depression, because I'm not so depressive anymore. I'm more of an anxious person, which means I'm fueled by feelings I'm not feeling. So yeah, it was more about that. I wasn't enjoying stuff. I wasn't able to think clearly. Little things would freak me out. When you have anxiety, like, the minutest things are horribly big to you. Like, I can't find my keys. I can't find my keys. I can't find my keys. Where the fuck are my keys? Like, everything is bigger than it should be. So a lot of the times when women are asking me, like, can you talk about it? It's because they're going, do I have it? I'm not sure. And all this crap you read on the internet, it's not really, I don't think it's not really relatable. And it's like, you know, when you, like, you'll Google it. Like, I remember Googling it the second time with Julian, like, do I have postpartum depression? And it's like, feelings of anxiety, feelings of sadness, feelings of, and it's like, yeah, but that's, like, again, like, that's within the human experience. So, but I would say, if you're finding yourself asking this question a lot, like, gosh, do I have this? Something feels off. I'm not enjoying anything anymore. And you're not sleeping because you're a new mom, which makes it even crazier, because your feelings are just inflated times 100, because you're not sleeping, you're not eating normally, nothing's normal. So that's hard too, to determine it. Again, go see a therapist, man. Can't hurt you. Certainly can't hurt to start talking to a shrink. And I recommend getting medicated. Why not? If you're really in the funk, in the dumps, go get on some kind of antidepressant, get on an SSRI, get on something to just lift the haze so that you can get treatment, the underlying treatment. Because that's really, just survive, girl. You're in the first year of their life. For me, that was the hardest. And it's going to get better. And just know, I know it feels like it's never going to end. And oh my God, why do I not love every minute of it? Because that's all I fucking heard, is the magic of motherhood. I love every minute of it. I love every minute. I go, well, you're brain dead, or you're in denial, because it's not possible to love every minute of anything. And I don't want the show to sound like we're complaining about kids. It's not that. We're complaining about, or just having the audacity to say that motherhood, like any other thing that's worth doing, is extremely fucking fraught with everything, with ambivalence, with you know, the most tremendous highs to the most tremendous lows. And I think that the more we normalize this idea of motherhood as opposed to it being idealized like it is, like every time a Kardashian gets pregnant, it's baby bliss. They literally, it's baby bliss, as if it's the silliest thing in the world. And hey, I mean, look, and I know it's hard to even say this in the mommy world, it's very taboo, but anything worth doing in life, you're going to have ambivalence towards anything. Look, comedy. I love stand-up comedy more than, you know, anything I do besides being with my family, but I fucking hate it too. Guess what? I have to enter, you know, there's Late Show Friday where there's drunk people vomiting in my showroom. Someone fucking puked in a cup this last week in Salt Lake City. That's real for me. I have to go leave my family to work. That sucks too. Does that mean I hate comedy or that I'm bad at comedy? No, it just means I'm a human being with fluctuating feelings that come and go. And the more we start talking about postpartum depression and miscarriages and the fact that motherhood isn't all wine and roses, the less women are going to call feeling like, I don't know, am I allowed to have a maid to clean my house for me? I feel guilty. Am I allowed to feel weird about not loving this newborn phase in my child's life? Like, this is insanity that we even have to question how we feel, because the societal expectation is you should love all of this all the time because it's a miracle, the miracle of life. They even call it the miracle, the blessed miracle, the blessed Virgin Mary miracle. And it is, it's fucking amazing. But it's also sometimes not fucking amazing. And it's very confusing for us women, because we've been told you should be down for this stuff and it should be easy, right? That's another myth. When that baby comes out, you'll just know what to do. You'll just know what to do. I was like, what, heroin? I'm terrified. I have anxiety. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. So get the support you need, both of you, with the miscarriages and the postpartum. This shit is real, man. It's a part of life. And go to your shrinks. Talk to as many people you can. Girl, we talk to women that are real about it and that aren't ashamed of it. I was watching this episode last night of Southern Charm. I was like passing through. I love Bravo. And, you got to see these women. They're beautiful. They're like all these stunning, I don't even know the premise. I just happened to click on this one scene. They're like rich women in the South, maybe, and they're beautiful. And this woman was at an aquarium with her mother and her one-year-old. And she goes, and this is my favorite, she goes, I interviewed nannies a little while ago, and I decided it's not worth it to me because I want to spend every minute with my baby. Every moment is so special. She started tearing up. I mean, I could have a nanny and go drinking with my friends, but then I'd miss every special moment. I was like, all right, I get it. And that is some first child shit. That is some first baby shit. Because by that second baby, you're like, he's walking? Oh, shit. All right, great. I got to go. I'll be right back. Tell him to keep walking. I'll take a video later. Like, I got shit to do, bro. No, not that cynical, obviously. But it is less precious second time around. But I get it. You want to spend every moment. But there's no reason you can't have help. By the way, her mommy was with her at the aquarium. So bitch got help. Okay, so don't give me this stuff. You have a nanny, you're a bad mom. No. She has her family. I don't have anybody. My family's crazy. I wouldn't let them near my kids. I got to hire sane people to help me. Sane person, my one nanny. I'm loving every minute of it. What a lie. Okay, let's get to the call. I mean, why are we even saying, you would never say that about anything, right, Nadav? About anything that you love. What do you love, Nadav? What's your most favorite thing in the world? Be honest. Pizza. I love pizza. Love every minute of pizza.
Sure. I love every minute of eating. I love eating.
But then sometimes it's not so pleasurable, right?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're like, oh, I shouldn't have had that second pint of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just feel disgusted.
No, but I'm serious. What's something you love? Music?
Yeah, I could do without music.
Oh, that's right. You're one of those antisocial.
Jesus. I mean, what do you love? I love television. I love television. Movies. I like to binge on that stuff.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, even like TV that I love a lot. Like, I could maybe do two or three episodes in a row. Like, I can't,
right.
I can't do it too much before I'm like, oh God, what, where's this day gone? Like, all See? I've done is just this, you know?
Yeah. All good things in moderation, including moderation. Is that what they say? Yeah. You can't do everything all the time and love. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible. Okay. Let's call Sarah. Sarah.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break and then okay. we'll get back into this call.
Okay, mommy. Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm going to call Sarah from Idaho. She wrote in saying that she finds my LA momming stuff, and she finds it hilarious. She's like, if you only knew what goes on in rural America, how we mom, you would die. And I thought, well, great, let's hear about it. So I'm going to call Sarah right now. She's expecting our call. And let's hear about mom life in Idaho. I've been to Idaho. I've been to Lewiston. Oh, hold on. Internal microphone? Sure. Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Lewiston, Idaho. Paper mill town. I remember that. I'm trying to remember if I've done anything else in Idaho.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, it's Christina P. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for talking with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so excited. I was not at all expecting this when I showed off that email. So.
Oh, well, let's talk about your email because I was so amused by it because I grew up here in LA and I never even think that people listening are like, this broad, who are you with your ridiculous stories, your ridiculous life? So I was so thrilled. So tell me everything. Okay, I don't want to know exactly where you're at because I don't want to get you in trouble. But you're in the state of Idaho?
I am. So it's not necessarily like a super, super small town, but so like our entire community, it's like right on the border of Washington, Idaho. Has about 60,000 people in it.
What? That's it. Oh my
right.
God.
Right. But it's considered big because we have a ton of like little farm towns
okay.
surrounding the area. So the town like I'm originally from, that my family grew up in, that I consider my hometown, like in its heyday had maybe 800 people in it.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. I've done Midvale. I've done comedy in Idaho. I've driven through your beautiful state. It is a beautiful state. I've been to Lewiston, which has a paper mill and the whole town smells yep. like that.
Yep. That's where I'm at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it. So what do you think the differences are between my LA mom life and your Idaho mom life? What's going on?
Well, it's just crazy. Like the thing that got me really thinking about it was your episode with Mitzi and the doulas.
Yeah.
Because that like it's not even really like we do have birthing doulas. Like that is an option around here, but really like you meet with them maybe once or twice. They're there for the birth. They come in and check on you maybe once or twice a week after you have the baby, but that's only like a couple of weeks. Like never in a million years would I have imagined that like having a live-in doula is even possible. So like can't it was you... just one of those things that like totally blew my mind. I'm like, what? Like this is a thing? Like that like
you're like, who is this?
This is so unfair.
Yeah. Like, who is this yeah. crazy highfalutin LA nutbag with a doula right. who comes to her house at night? Listen, man, when I heard about it, too, because I heard about it after I had before I had Ellis. But I was like, what? Get out of here. Get your life. I'm not letting some stranger into my house. I know. It's crazy. But we're crazy L.A. people. Can you import one? Maybe yeah. you could import one from, like, Portland. I see you're near Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Those Californians. Those dirty Californians. It's a bad word in our town.
Oh, I know. Everybody hates California. Oh, I know it.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
LA.
Especially here in Idaho.
Oh, really? Why do they hate
oh,
us?
Oh, yeah. My husband's in real estate. And so, like, every once in a while, there's somebody that wants to move up. They're like, oh, my gosh, the cost of living is so cheap up here. It's so fantastic. Yeah. And then, like, 20 minutes later, it's like, go home, Californians. I'm all over Facebook.
You're right, though. We pay a lot of state tax. It's very expensive to live here. It's silliness. It is. So, okay, so the doula thing, that definitely is a crazy LA woman stuff. And then what else?
Yeah. And so, like, another thing, so I also listen to a lot of Allison Rosen stuff as well.
I love Allison. She'll be on this show, too, eventually.
Ah, oh, yes. I love her so much.
She's the best.
But she talks about, like her and Daniel would always talk about, like, their mommy and me play groups that they'd go to. And they'd go and they'd, like, socialize with other toddlers. I'm like, not even a thing that's around here. Like, maybe, like, we'll take our kids to the McDonald's and then you can, like, sniff out another kid there.
Aww.
And in the play place. But other than that, like, daycare, obviously they meet other kids there, but, like, there's really nothing centered for, like, parents and small children. Like, everything down here is very much focused, like, for the longest time. And it is getting better. Like, I do have to give my community, like, a huge hats off, because we have a growing group downtown that's really trying to get more arts and music and stuff going, more community local events. But other than that, like, the big focus around here is, like, well, we got a bar. There's a dart league. You have kids. Sucks to be you.
I've been to Idaho. I know. Some places I remember, yeah, I did a bar in Idaho, and it was fucking real. It was like cowboys and stuff. I remember, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Doing philosophy jokes back then. Bad idea. I think I cried in the alleyway, the Idaho.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So you're telling me, wait a minute, you mean to tell me there's no Mommy and Me classes and you guys don't have doulas? Okay.
Right?
Next, you're going to tell me there's no Lululemon. Okay. Or
Pilates. Oh, my gosh. We have to drive to the big city of Spokane for that. Okay. So.
No smoothies? All right.
No.
What about vegans? Do you have those?
You know, we have one vegan in my office, and they are ridiculed relentlessly.
Yeah, they should be. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I think that's... I know that's very un-LA of me to say, but anybody with a special diet should be ridiculed that talks about it, don't you think? I think that warrants being an annoying. And I'm not, let's go vegan, keto, primal, paleo, gluten-free, anybody on a special diet. No one wants to hear about your special diet. Shut the fuck up. Okay, yep. But let's get into the nitty-gritty, because I got you. So I'm getting a picture now of where you're at, and you're not even doing Mommy Me. Is there a park that you can go to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a few parks. A big thing around here is the two county fairs that we have.
Okay.
We're right on the border of Washington, Idaho. We have, you know, county fair on one end of the river in the spring, and then in the fall, it's on the other side of the river. So that's always a big deal for little kids, because there's a carnival, there's, you know, drug addicts putting together rides.
Of course. Who better to trust than... the tilt-a-whirl guy with the meth addiction putting together the rides for you. I would never put my... I know. I see those local things and I'm like, nah, bro. Nice filthy gypsies putting together. Fuck
it. Yep.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
It's pretty great to see all those trailers roll into town.
But Sarah, let's talk some real shit, because if you mean to tell me you don't have Pilates and you don't have doulas and you don't have birthing centers, those moms are all in your Kool-Aid. I'm guessing the bitches in your town know what you're doing all the time and vice versa. I'm guessing pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's the shit I want to talk about.
Yeah. And so because we all know each other, because it's such a close-knit community, like, it's kind of good and bad, because all of your friends and family, they're within 15 minutes. So it's like, I'm having a meltdown. Like, I cannot sit here and listen to my toddler scream about wanting to watch the iPad for the 900th time.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I have four people on speed dial that, like, can be there within 20 minutes, which is fantastic. But the flip side of that is that if you do try to, like, maybe take your kids to the store or go out to dinner with children, which is always an adventure.
Yeah.
There's always people in the restaurant that you know that are there to judge you, see you, and see how, like, your kids behave in the restaurant. And there's two Facebook groups in our community that are kind of notorious for kind of bashing other people.
Okay, what about that? Let's talk about that. Who are these Facebook groups?
So there's the infamous mom group, which, as you can imagine, is full of uplifting positivity and just
I'm making the gagging
knock
sound.
Down drag out sites. That's
the positivity
sarcasm.
You mean to tell me that the positivity moms are backstabbing bitches? Or you mean to tell me that you're being sarcastic, that they're just horrible people who they're shit talkers, right?
Oh, I mean, there's gonna be something on there probably immediately. Just like, oh my gosh, like, so-and-so didn't have the latest car seat. Like, could you imagine? Like,
no.
Right?
Are you being serious? But they fucking, well, they talk about the women in their community. So doesn't that get, like for instance, Sarah, you're the one, let's say, who doesn't have the car seat. And then doesn't it get back to you really fast?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, and there's always, you know, and I don't follow it super closely, but every once in a while, like, you get tagged in, like, this, like, moderation post. We've had more problems with negativity and mom shaming in this group. And it's just, it's nonstop. Just, like, we're gonna, like, passive-aggressively tear each other down as much as humanly possible.
You mean, okay, so let me, I need an example. Because is it like this? Okay, so one time I saw this person speeding out of my kid's preschool. And then, like, the school will put out a vague flyer, like, or a vague email, like, parents, please be aware of the traffic rules around the school. Like, that kind of thing. You know, it's like a passive-aggressive thing, whereas everybody knows who did it. It's, you know, Mrs. Larson in the fucking, in her SUV. Why couldn't they just talk to Mrs. Larson directly? Like, they have to put out a public blast. So is it like, what happened? Tell me the truth. What really fucking happened?
Well, there's just all sorts of, you know, it is a lot of like the same question over and over and over again. Like, sorry, I'm scrolling through here.
Yeah,
to
let's
see if
it.
I have a good example.
I'm waiting. I want to hear this shit. I live for this because I don't belong to it, but I want to know it. Like I did add myself to a mom group, and I wish I could be specific, but
I mean, they're pretty terrible.
Tell me, Sarah, what's the terrible? Read me something. Go read.
So a lot of them are like I know I posted this yesterday, but I'm still trying to find a preschool for my 4-year-old. Well, bitch, we have 4 options for preschools. Like, you've been suggested all of them. What else could you possibly be looking for? Like,
right. She's just bitching.
Right. And it's maybe that's like the problem I have. It's just a lot of complaining vaguely about, oh my gosh, can you believe that there's a kid at the park throwing sticks at other kids? I'm like, yeah, I've had that kid before because we've been to the same park 3 times this week and he's over it. So, like.
Yeah. Or just know, it's a phase, or then don't go play with that kid. Go tell your kid, hey, there's a kid that throws sticks. Don't go play with that kid. It's really that simple.
Stay away from him.
Yeah.
So.
Because there's kids that throw sticks. There's kids that eat chalk off the floor. You tell your kid, don't hang out with those losers, man. Those are losers.
Yeah.
You teach them early, right? Those are dum-dums. Dum-dums eat shit off the floor.
Those are the kids that grow up to be on TikTok.
That's right. They're TikToks. That's right, Sarah. Do you see how this came full circle? You didn't even hear the top of this podcast. We were talking about TikTok. And now you're part of it. That's so exciting. So what pressures do you think, like, how do you think it affects your parenting with these, with the small town? Because it sounds like it's a small town community, so women are evaluating your children. If your child misbehaves at the restaurant, they're going to, you know, gossip about you. So does it affect your parenting stuff, your choices?
Well, I think so. I think a lot of it is just, you know, because there's a lot of pressure to make sure you're doing all the right things for your kids, like making sure that my daughter's in dance and making sure that my son's playing sports and that if he's playing sports, he's on the right team. And oh, well, he's playing with that person. I don't like that person. Like, why didn't he get put on this soccer team? I'm like, I don't know. So it's a lot of, you know, trying to impress, like, hold up this weird superficial standard where no one's really in it. That's probably universal.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when you show up at the soccer field on Saturday morning, like, you know all the other parents there because either your kid went to daycare with them or school or, you know, you graduated high school with them 10 years ago. It's crazy. So
yeah, I get that. Like, if I knew all the parents at my kid's school, I probably feel differently. Like, if I grew up with all those parents, you're right. Cause like not all of the kids' parents are cool at my kid's school. So I don't really, I don't talk to, like, there's some of them are super nice. Most of them are super nice. But then some of them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I definitely don't want to talk to you. Like, you're a fucking hardcore nerd. Like, you're not cool at all. You're not a cool mom at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell they're too intense about the parenting, I should say. I like nerds, actually. But like when they're like really focused on the, you know what I mean? Like the hardcore room moms and the hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, no, oh, yeah. I don't know who you are. I can't deal with you. It's too much for
me. And like another thing that's wild is that, you know, being in a small town, it's not uncommon for a lot of us to have kids really young. Like I had my son when I was 20. And like that felt like an accomplishment. I'm like, yeah, I'm not a teen mom. This is great.
Right.
But so like even sending your kids to school, like it's not uncommon for their teachers to like have taught you. So
oh, wow.
It's super crazy and the total small world. And like, I haven't ran into it with my kids yet. My son's only getting me in first grade this year, but like, I definitely remember going to school and having like teachers in high school. It's like, well, when your dad was in my class.
Oh my gosh.
Hell?
Yeah. I never thought, I guess that's the, cause here in LA, like, yeah, my kid's going to throw a tantrum in Target and I don't give a shit because I'm never going to see you again. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whatever. I don't care. And like, you've never seen a kid throw a tantrum before, or you obviously don't have kids. If you're eyeballing me on this plane right now, like, fuck you, you know? But if you know that bitch, I guess that's a whole different dynamic I hadn't really considered, you know? Because then you have to be like, oh, sorry, Nancy, or whatever your name is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was just, like, the other night, for example, we were at a community event, and they had a bouncy house, and it was 106 degrees, so I had to pull my kids out of the bouncy house. I'm like, you guys are going to faint in there. So my three-year-old, being a three-year-old, was not happy. So she gets out of the bouncy house, gets her shoes on. I have to pick her up. I'm pulling her out of the park, and she's taking her shoes off, and she just chucks it at somebody.
Of course.
Who happens to be my coworker? I'm like, well, this is great. Hi, how are you?
Oh, brutal.
This is my life in the free time.
Right. Brutal. Brutal. Because then you have to, yeah. And then I do think people that don't have kids will blame you for that. You know, like, oh, well, because I know I did before I had children. I'd be like, what's wrong with those parents? Like, why are their kids crying all the time? Or why are, you know, and then you're like, there's really not, I mean, so much of it's out of your control, you know?
Right.
They are who
right.
they are. So what do you like most about being a mom?
You know, it's really fun now. Like, both my kids are a little older, so.
How old are they? Sorry. What do you have?
So I have a six-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old.
Aww.
So they're both old. Like, they're both potty trained. Yes. They're both, like, talking really well. And it is just, it is so much fun where we can just go out and we can do things and I don't have to carry a diaper bag anymore.
Like, oh yes.
I remember like the accomplishment of being able to like go back to the normal purse and like, yes, this
oh,
is fantastic.
Nice. I
and,
can't wait for that.
But no, it's just, it's so cute. Like listening, you know, my favorite is just seeing like my kids interact and like the bond they have with each other too, because I was raised an only child. So it's just so special to me to like listen to their little conversations in the car when I pick them up from school.
Oh, that's cute.
And, you know, they do genuinely love each other, even though they try to murder each other on a daily basis.
Yeah, of course.
They also really care for each other.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, I agree. I was an only child. It's depressing. I love the chaos of children. I think it's fun.
Yes.
I like
I
the
do
noise.
Too.
Yeah. I like the you know, the markers on the walls and shit. It's fun. Like, I don't care. You know, what do I care?
Mm-hmm.
Mess my stuff up. Okay. What do you not love the most about being a mom?
You know, because I have two very strong-willed children, a lot of times they just don't listen. You know, my daughter thought she was a genius the other day because I got them a little tour chart for the refrigerator. And then, so she just wiped up, saw her name and then just erased all of the chores under her name. And she's like, well, I'm done, mommy. They're all
smart.
Gone.
See, she figured out the loophole. Smart
yes,
girl.
Exactly. I'm just like, well, I'm kind of mad, but also kind of proud.
100% proud. That's the kind of shit you should
mm-hmm.
foster. Definitely defiance, yeah. Thinking for yourself. I like all these things. I like that.
Yeah.
It's saucy. Good for her. Well, yeah, that is shitty. It's hard to discipline. I'm running into that with my older kid. That isn't a fart. That was a sock. I swear I know. I did have Middle Eastern food for lunch. And we determined that Middle Eastern food smells like BO, and then your mouth also tastes like BO after. Like, have you ever accidentally, like, scratched your armpit with your bare finger and then you put your finger in your mouth and you're like, oh, I taste armpit? Have you ever done that, Nada?
I have not, no.
Go stop it. You've never licked your armpits like that?
Girl, you crazy.
You know, I'm being serious.
Never.
Sarah, what about you?
I can't say that I've done that.
What? Who are you people? You guys are you kidding? You've never tasted your own armpits? I'm like, who am I? Wow, I'm all alone in this? Anyway, that's exactly what my mouth tastes like right now.
We don't have Middle Eastern food in Idaho either, so there's that.
Oh, I know that. Believe me, I've been there. You guys don't have Middle Easterners. That's why.
No.
There's a
lot of... that is another, like, crazy thing about growing up. Like, you don't think about it until... So we have a local pizza place, and it is... They've got a window where the kids can get stand up and watch them make the pizzas, like, as they're ordered.
Nice.
So I take my kids there one night and didn't think much of it, and there's another family there, and Milo stands up, and he looks at the boy next to him, looks at me, and the little boy's black, looks at the boy next to him again, looks at me, and he's like, Mommy, what's wrong with his skin? I'm just like, oh my God, kill me now. Like,
because I guess
nothing.
You,
it's just like, yeah, because, you don't have, you know, you don't think people, about yeah. it, because we don't have diversity at all. Like,
I know, I've been there.
Bunch of white rednecks driving jacked up diesel trucks. So
that's so crazy. I know, we teach our kid to throw things at Nadav when he comes over.
What?
What? Jewish people, we say, oh, a Jew right there.
Oh, well, you don't do a good job. He has not gotten me with anything.
I'm just kidding. That's what we just tell him. Just throw stuff at the Jewish guy. Oh, Sarah. Well, listen, I'm sorry that you have bitches who are haters, essentially. Because you know what that is? That gossipy hate. These bitches got nothing else to do. And just, you know, remember that haters gonna hate. The haters gonna hate. And the players gonna play. In the wisdom of Taylor Swift. Check it off. What did she say? Shake it off.
There it is.
Shake it off. Ah. Right? Because let me tell you something. Yeah, they are haters. And you know what? Bitches are always going to talk. They're going to talk no matter what. So you may as well do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Fuck them, Sarah. Let me hear you say it. Say fuck them.
Welcome.
Thank you. And listen to Taylor Swift. Listen to Shake It Off, and you'll feel much better. Yeah, that song, that is everything, that song. Listen to that song whenever you have a hater, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is ridiculous. I don't need this. But anyway, thank you so much for emailing me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy mom life to talk with us. Is there anything, any parting thoughts you have?
No, I'm just so excited that you're back with this show. I mean, it's very refreshing to hear somebody just be able to joke about motherhood and all of its literal shittiness.
Thank you. Well, tell that to my hate. Because a lot of bitches don't like it.
But... And I cannot wait to share this with the mom group so they can delete me out of it immediately after it airs.
I can't wait to, Sarah. Well, you can come move to LA anytime and you can hang out with me. If you ever want to live here.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Mommy. Stay black in Idaho and keep it real.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye, Sarah. And bye. You. Oh, I just hung up on her. Sorry. Yeah. And you two can call in. Leave a voicemail for me at 213-375-5184. That's 213-375-5184. Send me a video, wheremymomsat@gmail.com. I love your mom hacks. Send me your mom hacks. Send me your mom fails. Any hot mom topics. I love hearing about these Facebook mom groups. Please send me some. Send me your best Facebook mom group submission. I want to hear what the craziest of the crazy are saying, because you know that is my favorite lane. Because I've tried to belong to some groups and they're not accepting me. I think what happens is people Google me. And they're like, this bitch cannot be in our group. So yeah, I want to know, hot mom topics, send me this stuff. Anything you find that you think is funny, noteworthy, worth discussing, whatever, where my mom's at gmail.com. Thank you for downloading this episode. Please subscribe to me on iTunes so that you get it automatically in your inbox. Rate, subscribe, review. One more question I want to answer before I go. Sorry, I just had to do this because it's kind of pertaining to my husband. Someone asked me, my wife and I were recently discussing the topic about kids or possibly adopting a kid. I just wanted to know your thoughts on adoption. Hello, why not fucking do it? I say do it. I say do it. I say do it. And watch the movie Instant Family. My husband is in it, Tom Segura, and he's so talented. Watch that movie about adoption and fostering, and I think it'll answer any questions you may have, because I don't fucking know. It sounds like a great idea. Have you adopted a child? Email in. Let me know. I will talk to you about it. I will call you back to let this person know exactly what they're getting into. But in the meantime, watch Instant Family. It's a pretty great movie. Okay, thank you. Rate, subscribe, review. If you're watching me on YouTube, please subscribe. Let your friends know. Let your mom friends know if you like the show, that it exists. And come see me do stand-up, Christina P. online, for all my stand-up dates. Until then, homies, keep it 100, keep it real. I'll see you next time. Bye. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where